Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1032, and this is your host, Danny Pena. And this week we have a special interview. I got the main composer of my favorite game of this year so far, Streets of Rage 4. Come on, how many of you guys are fans of Streets of Rage? Are you a fan of Streets of Rage 4? But don't worry, we talked about everything behind the scenes stories about working on that project, getting all the legends and also the new generation of producers to be involved on this project. And it was a fantastic interview. And I can't wait to play here, only here on Gamertag Radio, in a couple of minutes. But first, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, share our content. The best thing you could do is share our content to the world. We need your support. Doesn't matter if you listen to the show every week or once in the blue. Just share it. You like this interview? You like our debates, our roundtable, anything? This is your opportunity to let the people know, your friends, let them know about GTR. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is search for Gamertag Radio. That's Gamertag Radio on any podcast app. Subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode coming up very soon, this is your opportunity. We need content. We need your voices. I don't care if you call 10,000 times. Brand new questions. We want to debate. We want to answer your questions. This is your opportunity. Also, mention where you're from, because we like to give a shout out to not only to you, the listener, but also your city, because there might be other listeners of GTR in your local area, but you don't know. You need to mention it, man. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to go straight to the interview, and we'll be right back after this. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So, hi, I'm Olivier de Rivière. I'm the main composer on Streets of Rage 4.
All right, so first of all, I want to say, man, I love the project. I'm a huge fan of Streets of Rage series. So when I heard about Streets of Rage 4, the one thing I was a little bit worried about was the soundtrack. Years ago, I was like, man, how are they going to pull this off, man? Because, you know, soundtrack of 1 and 2 is classics, in my opinion. And then I got to see the behind the music video on YouTube, and I'm like, all right, I'm happy with this. I'm happy with the results so far, man. So how you got involved with the project, man?
Well, it was very surprising, I guess. You know, you could believe this because, number one, at the time, I didn't know there was a Streets of Rage 4 in the process when Cyril from Dotemu, who's the publisher, he approached me one night. You know, we were at the same bar, actually. And, you know, he came to me and he said, look, I have this game. I would like you to score the game. And I was like, okay, yeah, what is this game about? And he said, it's Streets of Rage 4. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, no, look. And he showed me the trailer, the very first trailer that came out, you know, like almost 2 years ago, maybe. And the thing is, he, you know, when he was showing this to me, I was like processing, like, my God, wait a minute, there is a Streets of Rage. And you know, it's the four, I mean, like 25 years later. And now, you know, he has this guy that I don't know at all. You know, he's asking me to score the game, and you know, I've been a huge fan, as you are, you know, of these previous installment. And the thing was like, all right, yeah, okay, okay, yes, why not? You know, but I had so many questions, but as we were quite drunk, I didn't want to start, you know, the serious talk. Yeah. So when it happened back to Paris, because Dotemu is based in Paris and I'm in Paris as well, we met and I told them, you know, so it was like the whole team. So Lizard Cube, Ben Fike, the art director, and, you know, the game designer, Jordi, and Cyril as well. And they were like very enthusiastic about, you know, having me on the project. And, you know, two things were like, number one, where is Koshiro and Kawashima, of course. Number two was, guys, I don't know if I'm up to task, you know, for sure. And in the end, I ended up, you know, making a test, not because they asked, just because I was like, guys, I need, let me give it a try. Just, you know, so you know where you're going with me, because I was like, guys, I'm not going to do Koshiro style. That's not happening. It's just impossible. And they were like, all right, no problem. We got him on board. And I was like, oh, you got him on board. Okay.
Nice. But
what am I doing? You know? And so all of this happened, you know, I will let you ask questions.
Yeah.
I could go on forever.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, was this, because I know you worked on a lot of projects in the past, right? Other games, yes, and stuff. So was this the most stressful and the most challenging one because of this is a well-known iconic game and from 25 years ago, you know? So was the pressure there even more because of that too?
Well, definitely. The number thing, you know, the number one thing was like, okay, am I up to, you know, writing the right music for this game, whatever the game was, you know, like, okay, so this particular game did speed them up, you know, like in this style and all of this. So that was the first concern. But next was the biggest concern. And you're right. I mean, the pressure was much more on, oh, what am I doing? Because it could be very, you know, hurtful for my career if I do something wrong here. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, for a long time, I was like very, very, let's say, in the you know, the blank page, you know, like I couldn't do anything. I was like, what should I do? What should I do? Until, I don't know if you've seen this, but at some point they made a video concerning, like, you know, behind the soundtrack, or, you know, before my own, like, you know, years before. Mm-hmm. And you could see Koshiro, Kawashima, and everybody on this video from the Japanese, you know, guests. And what they were saying was sort of, well, we don't know exactly what is Streets of Rage music in, you know, in some sense. And it was very liberating for me, because I was like, okay, so the legacy is not about the style itself, but much more about the vision. So what had they done on the first one should be reproduced on this one, which is, okay, let's get a lot of club music and make it like sound like a video game, AKA, you know, chiptune maybe, but, you know, very modernized take on all these genre that happened since the last installment in 1994. I don't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But the pressure was so, so big that for the whole project, I was considering changing my name to something like Japanese.
He's like, it's not my fault. It's that person's fault.
That's true. I was looking up. I have friends, you know, who speaks fluently Japanese, and they were like offering me options. You know, like, yeah, this one, maybe, or that one, because it was, you know, the fans. Oh boy. So, anyways,
yeah. So from that, like, were you, after you worked on the soundtrack and everything, were you also in charge of, okay, this song belongs to this level, this song is, because when I play it, I feel like every track was like perfect, like it was meant for that level. And even I know the producers also worked on the music, right, for the bosses too, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
And I noticed certain parts of the game, the music changes. Like, I really love just the flow of the whole soundtrack, man. While playing from the beginning.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's you know, that's the. I think this is what they didn't expect from me, although they should have expected this, because I'm somebody that is very keen on interactive music. I'm someone that wants players to feel, you know, let's say, new experiences, the more, you know, the best we can offer them. And from what I've, you know, played from the previous games, although the music was like very catchy and all the time, you know, so, let's say, adapted to every level, I thought, what can we do with interactivity, you know, and the music? But first, you're right. I mean, the producers and I, at the very beginning of the project, we discussed, and it was very clear that every guest, so including Koshiro Kawashima, would do, you know, we'll have like one boss. Koshiro has like Mr. Y, Mr. You know, Mrs. Y. Kawashima has two bosses. Mm-hmm. And but Koshiro has like the main title and everything, you know, everything that is iconic has been made by him. And the thing is, it was like they would do the boss, so they will give each boss their own personality, and me, I will deal with the levels. And I'm very close to any team I'm working with, so you know, I knew exactly what the level was in terms of visuals, in terms of pacing. And this is why, you know, I came up with this idea of having the music not flowing like, you know, a film score, or, you know, if I may say, like a linear, you know, sort of commenting the action as a film score would do, but rather as a track that will have moments and that would follow, you know, whatever the game designer Jordi was doing in terms of, okay, this arena is very easy, this is cool, or this is a new guy, so you should put some tension here. So that's how I've constructed the music, and I'm happy that it feels like it's songs per se, mm-hmm. but still it's following the action, which is, in my opinion, very rewarding for players.
And also, were you involved also adding the retro songs in this game too? Were you involved with that, or just the
I mean, basically I was involved into, let's say, implementing the audio except the sound effects. Mm-hmm. So every music, everything you hear was of my responsibility. However, the retro song was like the choice we had, you know, was the rights that Dotemu could get from Sega, and it was only the ones that you got in the game. So I think it's Streets of Rage 2 and Streets of Rage on Game Gear, things like this. And then I wasn't like decided, I didn't decide like, all right, this queue should go there, except, you know, Get Straight, that was like obvious, like the first level. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, every other queues, it's the team, you know, it's not me, it's like the lead game designer who chose which one should go where, you know.
Yeah.
With frustration, mm-hmm. because he was like, oh, I wish we had the, you know, as everybody's mentioning now on the internet.
Yeah, I noticed also, like, they also selected certain songs for, like, certain areas. I'm like, okay, wow, okay, this one also worked too. Like, it was pretty good, man, like, the choices that they made, you know. Now, I wish it was more of the 16-bit era instead of the Game Gear one. In yes. there, but it's all good. I'm happy with overall with everything, man. So now,
but did you it's great to hear, but did you go in mm-hmm. the 16-bit world while in the game? Did you happen to experience this?
No, not yet. I am planning to, because I already unlocked all the characters, so I'm planning to do that next,
because
what's the
difference if you use the taser on the arcade machine?
Oh, you're talking about that one? Oh, the taser you talk. Oh, I thought you meant the video that you could change it to, like the.
No. The fact that you can like tase the arcade.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're teleported into Streets of Rage 2. But what happens is my music is getting 16-bit flavor.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but
yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I noticed that because I already unlocked all four of them. And then the first time I did it, it was like by mistake. I was like, wait, what is this? And it takes me to this world. And I'm like, wait a minute, the music changed, the look, everything. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool, man. So
perfect.
for those levels, were you being like, had to do that too, like change the whole sound into like 16-bit?
Well, I surprised them. I mean, they didn't expect this. You know, they didn't know much about, you know, what system we had in terms of audio engine for the game. And, mm-hmm. you know, it happens that the audio engine we're using for Streets of Rage 4 is the same as for, let's say, The Witcher 3 or Assassin's Creed or Destiny, or it's the same. So you can imagine how crazy we can become. And this is, you know, I was like, oh, guys, so if you teleport the players into this world, you know, 16-bit world, then I should do something with the music. And at first it was like, oh, should we play some retro music? But then it was like, no, let's just morph the music, you know, my music to this. And if players want the retro music, they just need to switch, you know, in the option menu and get it.
Yeah, definitely. I liked it. It sounded really, really cool. I was very surprised. Now, How important was it for you to not only get the old school producers, but also a new generation of producers that maybe was inspired from not only from the Streets of Rage soundtrack from back then, but also new games and stuff? How important was it for you to get them involved together?
Well, I was very curious, I might say, you know, about who's would bring what. Like, I knew that Kawashima would go crazy because he's like avant-garde electronic genius for sure. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure about Koshiro because he could have gone to something completely different, but he's the father of Streets of Rage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he had to make the connection. So he did, you know, and basically when you start the game, you have this wonderful main title, then the character selection, then the first bit of the first level. All of this is Koshiro. And between levels, you know, when you have all the ranks and everything, the points, it's Koshiro's music. So he's all over the place. This is what we wanted to have, you know, like he's the one, if I may say. Mm-hmm. But then all the other producers, you know, and mostly the, let's say, Western producers were completely free to come with anything they wanted to. And, you know, some of them, I guess, were maybe aware or not about Streets of Rage in terms of, you know, what was it? I don't know exactly. You should ask them because I can't, you know, talk mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah.
But definitely, I think, what is important is like, none of, you know, what they've done feels like out of place. And, you know, Dotemu was sending to them each boss, you know, it's like, okay, so, you know, for instance, I'm bad with names and always I forgot her name.
It's okay.
You know, the composer from Streets of Rage 2. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's okay.
But
it's
she,
okay.
I mean, she, yeah, you know, Shiva, she was, you know, to score this, and, you know, she came up with this, you know, very Chinese string, and it was great. So everybody was happy with the results, although nobody was expecting anything specifically, you know.
And which one out of the whole song, the whole soundtrack, which one was the first track and which one was the last track that you received from the project?
Oh my God. The first track, there is a story behind this because.
Oh, really? Okay.
Love yeah. Right. So the first track. So what I did was like, the first half of level one is Koshiro. You know, it's called Their Back, something like this. Mm-hmm. However, before he could deliver, I had, you know, this space, let's say, to do some, you know, research, you know, R&D for me. And I started doing this cue that is like somewhere, you know, and it's the first cue I wrote, you know, for the game. And, you know, it was there not to be in the game. We knew this, but somehow, I don't know why, how, don't ask me, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It ended up on one of the trailer of the game. Mm. And I was like, boys, it's not supposed to be public.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And it's too early.
Yeah. And so, you know, what was the, let's say, the temporary track that I wrote, because it's on the trailer. And one of the comments was like, it sounds like farts. And since then, I'm telling you, everybody, you know, the developer is like, yeah, your music, you know, this one, the one that sounds like farts. You know? So that was the first one.
Yeah.
The last one I wrote, which one was that? I'm not sure because it was like basically, I think I went like chronologically. I think. Mm. No, maybe not. Not exactly, but yeah, mm-hmm. almost.
And how's it been reading the feedback from the fans online, man, for the past couple of weeks now, man?
Well, oh boy. I mean, there is one thing I understood, I knew, and, you know, you can't beat a childhood memory. You can't beat nostalgia. You can't beat in terms of, like, not competition, you know, but yeah. In terms of you can't compete. In a way that it's like, that's it. It's their memories and you cannot, you know, be better than this. Never. Mm-hmm. So I knew that. And so we got a lot of, not a lot actually, but few of complaints about the fact that it didn't sound Streets of Rage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with this, you know, because basically I totally understood why they would say this, you know, it's okay. And they would say the same with visuals, because visuals are not pixel art. And they would be like, no, it should be pixel art. It's bad. It's not, you know, the right style and everything. So we knew, you know, with Ben, the art director, that we would get some bad, you know, reception. However, what is very interesting is a few days later, you know, let's say the majority of the comments were very good. Okay. The majority were like amazing. We were like so happy. However, some of the ones who complained got in touch personally to me to apologize.
Really? Really?
So, yeah. That was very unexpected. I got few emails and, you know, direct message that was like, sir, I wrote that the soundtrack was really bad and didn't belong into Streets of Rage. I'm sorry, you know, and it's not just one, you know, it's like more, like 10, even more, you know, so it was surprising. And then if you go on YouTube, on the official channel for the soundtrack, you know, if you want to listen to the whole soundtrack on YouTube, you'll see that one of the first comment is, at first I didn't like it, and now I think it's one of the best. And then you have like tons of people saying, yes, exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's because of two reasons. And this is just my analysis. The number one, maybe three reasons. Number one is, as I mentioned, you know, the memory of the previous games. That's it. You know, you can't do anything about this. So it's difficult, you know, to step up after this. So that's one. Number two is, the game is very good. I think the game is very fun. I think the game is like the fine-tuning of everything is perfect, and they did an amazing job at God Crash. And so it helps a lot people appreciating more, you know, everything around the game, including the music. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If the game would have been bad, I'm pretty sure that nobody would, you know, spend more time in the game, you know, on the game, trying to, you know, appreciate it as it is, you know, and everything that belongs to it. So music included.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Finally, maybe the music is good, you know, so people can, you know, be like, yeah, yeah, okay, the music is good. You know, at the end, maybe the music is also good. I don't know. You know, it's a matter of taste more than a matter of, you know, is it good or not? So yeah, but it was interesting to get, you know, those emails and to see on YouTube, like, the sort of, oh yeah, at first it was not so good, and now I feel like it's one of the best, so I'm happy.
Yeah, see, like the only complaint that I have is,
sure,
when I play the older games, I could go to the audio section and just play the songs if I want from there, and I can't do this with this, because there's certain songs that I just love. Instead of me just going to like a music streaming service like Spotify or Apple Music to find the soundtrack, hey, I would like to, you know, jam it on my TV from my Nintendo Switch or Xbox, just have it there playing, you know, but I have to like leave the character at one of the levels and just let the music play in the background. That's the only complaint.
My God.
You know, so.
Well, you, oh my God, you just mentioning something that we wanted to do and we just forgot.
Really? Wow. So yeah. You noticed this after, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's while you were mentioning this, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's one of the things that I love about the older games, that you were allowed to do that, you know? And if there's a way that you could mention this to the developers, and maybe I have like a little update where they could add that.
Oh, feature, definitely. Definitely. I will. Cool. I mean, as we speak, you know what? Let me just tell them now.
Yeah. So cause I love that
in real time.
Yeah. There you go. There's an exclusive video. I really enjoy that, man. That's here's the three tracks that I feel like it was like my favorite ones is the first level. I feel like every Streets of Rage game, that first music, that first level is super grimy, streets, like dark.
It's Kashiro's.
Yeah, Kashiro's. So it's perfect. It's perfect, right? So love it. I love the train level. Can't remember the name of that track.
Yeah, that's Aphex Train, because it's based on Aphex Twin. If you like this song, hook it up, you know, like look it up, sorry, on the internet, Aphex Twin, and it's all there.
Yeah.
Trust me.
And also... the Chinatown level.
Sure.
Amazing. Showtime, yes. Yeah. Do you have any favorites? Because I know you worked on a whole project, but they got to be something like, man, I'm in the mood to listen to this. I'm in the mood to listen to that. So
I can tell you that the one that I'm not so happy about, you know, is Ghost Fair. Like the first, it's not that I'm not happy. It's just like, this one was difficult because, you know, it was like, it was, okay, what do we want to do? Because I didn't want to go and to do the whole soundtrack, like, you know, high beats and, you know, techno and all of this, as you realize now, you know, it's a lot of genre all together and mixed in certain way because it fits the atmosphere at every level. And for this level, you know, the it's a fair, you know, an abandoned fair. And I was like, oh, what should I do? And I knew that on the arcade machine, then the music will pump up, you know. But before this, it was sort of not so clear for me. And what I did, and it's funny because there are so many references in my score. I mean, the music, because this one, if you listen carefully, it's the Eye of the Tiger.
Really?
Yeah. Listen. You'll get it. It goes like tam. Dun, 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 like this, and you have in the background that dun, 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 it's exactly this.
I gotta start listening to it. That's cool.
And it's
man.
There. It's all there. Yeah. You know, it's and there are so many references like this throughout the whole score. I mean, I'm waiting for people to be like, hey, what about this? Like, you know, Segata Sanshiro. I don't know if you know this advertisement, you know, TV ad in Japan for Sega. I don't know, but it was this ad where this guy, Segata Sanshiro, he was like the representative of Sega, you know, and he's like fighting people. And there's the song that goes like, Segata Sanshiro, Segata. And this is in the dojo, you know, it goes like, it's there.
Oh,
you know, so,
man. Okay. Now, yeah. Now I got to do some research now and listen to it, man. Now, I have to say this, man. You know, we're all living in this quarantine life now because of the situation that the world's going on, right? And sure. I feel like I know I spoke to you too like a couple of weeks ago, and you were also dealing with that stuff over there in your area. And I feel like this game came out at a right time for people like me, because I live in New York City. So, you know, I've been inside my apartment for a while. Now I'm starting to go out now. But Streets of Rage 4, not only the soundtrack, but the game overall, been helping me a lot, you know, while I'm, you know, stuck at home and everything. So I just want to say thank you, and also to producers, man.
I mean, I don't want to say like good for us, but you know, it's it feels like you know, people, yeah, we got a lot of feedback like, yeah, you know, it's the exact game that we wanted because it's fun. You know, you just take the pad and you don't think it's already, you know, entertaining. There is no like, oh, let's loot, let's grind, let's, you know, develop this character. And that's something that I remember that a lot of, you know, people were expecting, sort of, you know, it's like this, it's like, oh, the game is either too retro or it's too modernized, you know, and you never know where to go. And I think that what they did in terms of following the legacy without, you know, going on to this sort of new trend of, let's say, if we go to, you know, the extension of this like microtransaction, you know what I mean? That what they achieve with the game is like giving so much, you know, being so generous because they love, I mean, we are so passionate about this that we wanted, you know, people to get the full experience like right away. You know, I don't want to say it's good that the quarantine helped, you know, because I'm not sure. But I think that if it helped some people like having a better time in quarantine, then we're happy.
Yeah. You do your job, right? That's how it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I'll say this, man. Like I am putting this game as like one of my favorites so far of this year. Like it's, I have a lot of other ones, but this is up there, man. So I definitely have to say that. Now, what is next for you? This is like my last question. Is there any other project that you could talk about or stuff that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, one thing that is official is like I'm doing the music for Dying Light 2. Ooh. And I'm actually writing the score as, you know, this interview is happening in between.
Okay, there you go. I've already seen the game behind closed doors at E3. It looks really good. So I can't wait to hear your work, man, on this.
Yeah. It's an amazing game. It's an amazing team. It's very unique. I mean, Techland, they're very unique. So I'm very happy. And, you know, I have like a few games coming in after this. But now the focus is Dying Light 2. And, you know, it has to be the game. I mean, as every game we're doing, you know, just bear in mind that any game that comes out, the people behind this, they want to deliver the best games. And if they fail, it's not because they didn't, you know, they suck, or, you know, there are good reasons. And when I say good reasons, it's bad reasons. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's never like, oh, developers are like, yeah, we're going to do a shitty game and you're going to enjoy this. You know, nobody's like this. So yeah, we'll do our best for Dying Light 2, as we did for Streets of Rage, as we did for Plague Tale, as we did for, you know, all these games that I've been through.
Yeah, and totally different styles, man, right? From like party, grinding, you know, in the streets, and to like, oh man, you know, creatures, zombies, oh, totally different vibe. That's awesome.
Well, yeah. Coming from Vampyr, A Plague Tale, you know, all these games, you know, it feels like, for a lot of people, it was like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, it makes sense because, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm old now and I've been doing trackers in the old days. I've been playing, you know, on, you know, Genesis, Super Nintendo, Amiga, you know, Neo Geo, all of this, you know, and I've been doing a lot of music like this in my youth. So makes sense to me.
You know what? I forgot to mention this before you leave. This is super quick. Sure. I always ask myself, like, how in the world the old producers from the Kushiro, they worked on the soundtrack for part one and part two. How in the world they managed to do a soundtrack so good like that during the 16-bit era? Like, as a producer, technology back then wasn't that great, you know? So, and they, I feel like it pressured them to be more creative with their music, right? So
yeah, you're totally right. Yes.
Yeah. So you always thought about that too. Like, how in the world they managed to do this back then?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yes, of course. You know, and this is something that people overlook in terms of, let's say, achievement.
Yeah.
But what they achieved was, and, you know, that's what is amazing, is like, now they're in the history, you know, of video games for what they did because of that, you know, for sure. And also, you know, this is also why I feel frustrated, because although we do have like interactive music in certain way, but it's been like 20 years, trust me, 20 years that the music itself is not using the technology as these guys were trying to, you know, push limits to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right now, it's just like beautiful music being played when something happens and it's enough. And this is something that I don't really understand. I mean, I know why, but, you know, on my own, I'm trying to push younger generation to, let's say, embrace what Koshiro and, you know, Kawashima did 25 years ago. And I think the technology now allows you to make so crazy stuff that really, you know, it could make the experience for gamers, because in the end, it's for you guys, for the gamers. It's not for us. I mean, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, trying to push the way music can react in a game and almost like can be written for a game will provide you a wider range of experiences, and hopefully, you know, something that will feel fresh. And, you know, because right now, let's just be fair, you know, it's a lot of sequels, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, a lot of old, the same sort of feelings, except few exceptions. But of course, the few exceptions are the ones you will remember.
Yep. Totally agree, man. Well, I just want to say, man, thank you for the interview, man. And thank you for taking your time from your busy schedule.
Thank you
schedule,
for your
man,
interest.
You know? Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm glad you enjoyed the game.
Because I know one thing you said to me, like, okay, you already down with the hype? I'm like, no. I'm still hype, man. I'm still hype for this interview.
That's cool.
Definitely got to talk, man. So yeah, appreciate the talk, man. And yeah, man, good luck with everything, man.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
All right. Take care, man. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so now it's time for me to review Minecraft Dungeons. So this is what happened. So originally, I was editing this episode right after recording this interview, and Microsoft sent me the game. So I had to stop editing, and I got to play this game now for 4 days. I'm using it through my Xbox One. And I have to say, look, I'm not a fan of Minecraft. I tried to play it many times in the past because my nephews were like, oh, Theo, uncle, please try it. And I try it out. And it's just not for me. Minecraft is not a game for me. But let me tell you something, man. Minecraft Dungeons completely changed my mind about the franchise. Minecraft Dungeons is, I have to say this, one of my favorite games of this year. So good. And I think that you that are not a fan of Minecraft, try this out. If you have Xbox Game Pass, try it out. Or if you buy this game, which is totally cheap, it's only like $19.99. If you buy this for your daughter, son, nephews, nieces, try it out yourself. I was so surprised because, look, I am a huge dungeon crawler. I'm into action RPG games, and this got me hooked. I was playing it nonstop for hours. The first night, 2 o'clock in the morning. The second night, 3 o'clock in the morning. Amazing game. Great time. I'm not going to say anything about the story because I want you to experience that for the first time. I'm just going to tell you from my experience, stuff that I like, stuff that I just enjoyed. I'm going to talk about it here on the podcast because I'm so passionate about this game. So right now, I'm on over level 32. I've completely finished the campaign mode, right? And after you finish the game, there's an end game now. So you start unlocking difficult levels now. And I believe there's 2 right after you finish the first one. And I can't stop playing this. The only thing that I haven't done yet is playing this online with friends or family members. Not yet. I haven't had the opportunity yet, but it is freaking amazing. So first thing first. So now when you start the game, you create your character. There is no class. Later in the game, you're going to start getting weapons. Based on those weapons, that's when you're like, okay, I want to be a warrior. Whatever type of loot you find in the game, that's when you like turn your character into a class. You know, it's pretty random at first, but this was going to happen. You are going to find something that is going to work for you. It's not one of those like, okay, I pick a class and then I decide which one I like. No, it's not like that. I do have to say this. So I haven't had the opportunity to play this online with friends because I got this game early. I don't know who has it. So hopefully once the game comes out in a couple of days, then I could start teaming up with other people and play this 4-player co-op and battle it out. But the good thing is you could play this local co-op or online co-op. So there is old mobs and new ones in this game. When you play in the first game, you are going to find a lot of loot based on your level. Later on, you're going to find very unique and rare items. Once you finish the main campaign, you're going to unlock new enemies, new gear, new difficulty, which is way more tougher now, and also new bosses. Let me tell you, I started playing the first level all over again. And I started playing it, and I'm like, I've never seen this boss before. Who is this? It's so, so good. So, so good. And let me tell you, there's a lot of secrets in this game that relates to Minecraft and even Diablo and other games. A lot of Easter eggs. I'm still trying to figure out. And also, there's a lot of hidden levels in the game that you could find too, which some you could do it on your own, and some you need 4 players to figure it out together. I'll say this, man. If you have Xbox Game Pass, this is a must. Go out, try it. Give it a few minutes. Just try it out. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. Personally, for me, I really enjoy this game. I can't stop playing it. This game is perfect if you have the Nintendo Switch. You know why? Because automatically you have 2 Joy-Cons that you could play locally, right? If you have more controllers, you could play also 4-player co-op. And this is the issue that I have with a lot of games nowadays is there's not a lot of games that you could play locally. There's not. You will see that most likely from like a lot of indie games, right? You should definitely try it out locally. Shout out to Arctic. He's one of our community members. He also our mod on our Twitch channel. I thought about Arctic. And the reason why I thought about Arctic is because he hasn't been playing a lot lately because his kids has been playing a lot of Minecraft. A lot of Minecraft. So you get to see, if you go to our Discord, make sure to join our Discord. That's discord.gg /GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. If you go there, you'll see under Arctic's name, it says Minecraft, right? So I thought about him right away and I hit him up privately. I'm like, hey, Arctic, I think you are going to enjoy this game, man. Because you and your kids could play together. Nobody's going to feel like left out. It's going to be a lot of fun. So again, parents, if you have an opportunity to buy this game, it's only $19.99. Once again, $19.99. And this game is long. It's pretty decent, like the amount of hours, right? But once you finish the game, there's more stuff to do. New enemies, new locations, new everything. Then there's another difficulty after that. So you're going to be playing this for a very, very long time. I have a lot of hours. I unlocked a lot of achievements. So parents, go out there and try this out. If you have a PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch, go out there and make sure to support this type of content, man. By the way, in the beginning of the game, you get to see the new intro for Microsoft is the Xbox Game Studios. Right in the beginning of the game. This is the first time you get to see this from one of the games. And believe it or not, this is going to be the beginning of the whole new change from Xbox overall. The Xbox Game Studios, you're going to get to see a lot of this intro, kind of like a Marvel-ish type intro. You get to see a lot of the first-party games in there, and it goes straight to like the name of the studio and everything. So it's pretty cool. But now that's it. I just want to say that the game comes out May 26, 2020. You could get for all digital platforms, you could get it. The base game is only $19.99. For the Hero Edition, is $29.99. And yeah, I just want to say thank you to Microsoft for sending us a review code for us to review here on Gamer Tag Radio. So that's my review of Minecraft Dungeons, developed by Mojang Studios and published by Xbox Game Studios.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
But please, you listener, let us know your feedback, your thoughts. Hit me up. I'm on Twitter. Godfrey, that's GODFREE. You can follow me there. That's Godfrey. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about this interview, right? So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening, and please be safe. We have more surprises coming up in the future. I'm talking about huge surprises. Just stay tuned. Stay tuned. And we'll be back here on Gamer Tag Radio. See you until next time.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.